Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, The Life I Now Live.
Our first scripture lesson this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Galatians, the second chapter, beginning at the 15th verse. Let's listen together to this, the word of our Lord. Paul writes, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus, so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by doing the works of the law, because no one will be justified by the works of the law. But if, in our effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up against the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our second passage comes from the book of Romans, chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. "But now, irrespective of the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous, and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks once again for your presence. We give you thanks for the joy that's in our hearts. And so, Father, I ask now that the words of my mouth, that the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing in your sight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, the last few weeks that I'll be spending here at TAB, I've been surprised by some of the things that I've gotten to do. Was able to officiate a funeral for Janet Keith and also Margaret McWhirter. I was reflecting on Ben and Kenny Donaldson. I officiated at their wedding. I baptized Weber, baptized Lily. So if you have a third child, I guess I'll have to baptize them as well. The only thing that's missing now is a wedding. So if anybody wants to get married in the next 3 weeks, hit me up. We'll work something out. And we'll get it done. But it really has been, it's been a lot of fun to do these things. And this isn't my last sermon, by the way. This was kind of a sermon that I helped John, so we wouldn't have to worry about it this week. But my last one will be on July 11th. I wanted to start talking this morning about just great truths in Christian life. And one that I've always found very comforting is that grace or salvation costs you nothing, but it costs God everything. And I've always found that to be very comforting, because when it comes to being a child of God, there's nothing that I have to do to earn it or to deserve it. But rather, God has always done the heavy lifting. He's the one that took it upon himself to find a way so that I and you, or we, could enjoy union with God. And in the church, we have this visible sign, this visible truth. We see it periodically, and thankfully at this church, we see it with some frequency in baptism. you know, today I baptized Lily, and I don't know if you caught one thing that I said in there, and I said that when parents bring their children for baptism, it's an act of faith and a hope that God's love claims us before we can respond in faith, but also that God's grace enables us to follow him. You know, sometimes people will ask me, well, why do you baptize babies when they can't recall, they can't remember this ceremony? I mean, does it mean anything to them? What benefit do they have from a ceremony they can't remember? And there's a few things, ways to answer this, but one of the ways that I answer this is if we understand baptism as the end of the Christian journey, that it's something that you do after you profess faith in Jesus Christ, then infant baptism would just seem very backwards. But we understand baptism really as the beginning of the Christian journey for one reason. We have this conviction, and I think you do too, that God is the one who both initiates and God is also the one who completes. And what we mean by that is that God is the one who searches us out. You know, oftentimes it can feel like I'm the one that's seeking after God. I'm the one that's drawing myself closer to Jesus. But Jesus himself said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And so we believe that this desire to know God, to search him out, does not come by sheer brilliance or ingenuity, but rather that God drew you. And also we affirm this other great truth that's found in Scripture, that it is God's will that all people be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And so our conviction is that God's heart is always to claim us, is always to seek us out. So with these two great truths that we have, the first that God draws us, God calls us, God claims us. And then secondly, that it's his desire for us to come to a saving knowledge of him. That's why we baptize, because we want to see these two truths finally acted out visibly for us to understand. So how does that work? You know, a child doesn't know right from wrong, doesn't really know what left from right is. And yet, we will claim that even in this ignorance, God is already at work in this child's life. God is already claiming Lily as his own. We have no idea what kind of child they'll become. Will they be a good person? Will they be a rebellious child? We have no idea. But what we do know is that God has already said, Lily, you don't need to earn my love. You don't need to somehow work your way into my love. You will always have it with me. And being cute is not going to be enough. You know, Lily was really cute, but just because she's cute, that doesn't mean that God says, yeah, I'll take this one as my own. What we're affirming in baptism are these two great truths. Lily very much did not know right from wrong, left from right. And yet, in this one act, we claim that God has already called her as his own. And that's really the gospel, if you think about it. You know, none of us deserved or earned our way to salvation. It was by pure grace. It was unmerited. It was undeserved. God did it all. And so when we see a child baptized, we're reminded that just as this child was ignorant of what was happening to them, we also at one time were ignorant without God. But in his grace, God called us, God searched us out, and God claimed us as one of his own. And this is a great truth, friends, because there is nothing that you can do against God that will break God's determination to call you and to seek you out. I think this bears repeating. There is nothing that you can do against God that will break God's determination to call you and to seek you. There is no amount of racism or pride, pornography, adultery, even murder. There is nothing that will break God's determination to call you and to seek you. And that's what we affirm in baptism. That is a truth that you can hold on to. You are truly called. You are truly loved. And that's the kind of God we serve. And yet, even in this calling that is undeserved and unmerited, we also believe that grace that we experience at baptism also is calling us forward. Baptism is also fruitful. It produces something. You know, in the liturgy for baptism, John and I will often say, the waters of baptism remind us that we are cleansed of our sins. And also we will say that the waters of baptism seal us for Christ's service. And so when we see the waters of baptism, they are reminders for us that maybe we were baptized 60, 70, 30, 20 years ago. But when we see a child baptized, we're reminded, those same waters are still at work in my life. I am still cleansed. Those same waters still cleanse me, but those waters still challenge me and call me to something greater, to a greater purpose. And this is one of those beautiful concepts that's laid out in the Bible. I love how the Message, that Bible version, states this verse. It says, don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? So let people see God in and through your body. God calls us in baptism, in grace, so that we can join him in his work. You see, we know as a Christian that grace is free and it doesn't cost you anything, but it costs God everything. God was the one who paid the price so that we can enjoy unmerited favor and love. And that price was the life of his very son. And so that's the gospel truth. And our response has always been one of gratefulness. But you can't really understand grace and the price that was paid for you if you keep living the way that you want to live, if you keep ignoring the commands of Jesus, and you waste your life on things that don't matter. Because what we understand in the waters of baptism is that we were rescued, we were sealed, we were cleansed for a purpose. Our lives are to make a difference. And baptism reminds us that we're not the same person when we enter and left behind those waters. In the same way that Lily today, she has no idea what happened. But she's not the same person she was before she came, and she's definitely a different person after. But you might think to yourself, well, how can that be? She's just a baby. Friends, it is both the mystery of God, but it is also the grace of God. That God can call us at any time, at any place, at any age. God's love can claim us. And yet, that's an assurance for us. Because I need to see babies baptized. Because I need to also see that in my ignorance, in my lack of whatever it is, it's not about me. God's promises don't hang on my ability to be good. God's promises don't hang on my ability to keep the law or to be, you know, following Scripture perfectly. And see, this is a trap for us today in the church, is that what we believe is that we'll say, yes, God's love is free. God's grace is free. He will love you. He will call you. But then we often say, but you better make sure you do it this way. You know, I gave an example at a Bible study this week of just how sometimes you can lose track of just these truths that God loves you and God claims you. You know, I've been a Presbyterian now for, I don't know, I guess like 15 years or something like that. And I remember a few years ago, I went to one of those churches, you know, that was not Presbyterian. And I remember that I left offended. And I thought to myself, I was like, Oscar, get a grip. Like, the Presbyterian worship style is not the God-ordained worship style. Like, nobody's salvation is hanging on doing liturgy. You know, just because you don't say a prayer confession is going to be okay. But I thought to myself a lot about that because I thought, gosh, it's so easy to get religious. It's very easy to say, my way is the only way that God works. My way is the only way that God's grace and favor truly are operating. And yet, when we look at the gospel, we see that if you live your life thinking to yourself, how do I earn God's love? How do I deserve it? It's such a meaningless life. And you will spin your wheels and you will spend your life doing something that you absolutely hate. There won't be any joy for love of God in your life. It'll all be burden. And Jesus knows very well about this. You know, we often talk of the Pharisees in the Bible as these very legalistic people that were dead or empty inside. But the truth is, I sympathize with Pharisees in the Bible because I am one. One who deeply loves God and yet often forgets that doesn't have to earn it, doesn't deserve it, and yet will live his life trying to always earn that love. Today we are reminded again that grace changes everything. If there's any message for you today, it's this. Rest in the assurance that God claims us and loves us. Rest in that. It's assured. It's true. Rest assured that because you are claimed and loved, you are called for a purpose. Rest in that. Rest in the power of God. Rest in who God is. God's got it. And put away your burdens. Put away your trying. Put away yourself. And let's be back at that baptism font and be reminded we didn't deserve it. We hadn't done anything. And yet God claimed us. Let's pray. Gracious God, we're thankful that you call us and you claim us as your children, as workers in this process. Pray, Father, for any of us today who feel burdened, feeling that we have to earn, we have to somehow deserve our salvation, this grace of God. And Lord, in some ways, we know that because it'll be a posture of our own hearts. We might be offended by what I said. We might be deeply disturbed by what I preached. But that's okay, God. Because I'd rather grace disrupt our lives. I'd rather mercy unseat us, so that we can truly be free. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray right now that your Spirit would work among us, would speak to us, and show us once again your love, your grace, and your favor. Please speak to us, Holy Spirit.